We're in a series called Drawing Closer, The Secrets of Prayer. This will be the final message in that series. Next week we'll begin our One Life series and begin talking about how one life can make a difference. But this week will be, to me, the best message in this series. I learned more studying about prayer for this message than I have in any message on prayer I've ever studied, ever preached, ever heard, ever listened to. This is the secret of prayer today. And today we're going to talk about the prayer of power. Now let me just review for you. We talked about why pray. We talked about the prayer of confession and the prayer of intercession. Now we're going to talk about why pray. Now, let me ask you a question, and I want you to answer this one, all right? How much power does God have? All power, right? God has all power. Okay, don't answer these next few questions, okay? Are we trying to get God to move when we pray? Are we trying to talk God into something when we pray? Does God finally answer our prayers if we bother Him enough? Do we earn answers to our prayers through hard work, diligence, and perseverance? I want you to think about some of those questions, because although we might not phrase it that way, we probably believe that. We probably believe that if we pray enough, God might do something. What I'm going to share with you today, though, is going to help you, because if that's the way you think, then if you pray about something and that prayer, quote unquote, doesn't get answered the way we're praying about it, it leaves an open door to get mad at God. God didn't do it. So what I'm going to show you today is really going to help you to understand what prayer actually does. All right? Let's get right into the points. All right? Number one, God has deposited His power in us. Now we're talking about how to pray the prayer of power, how to release power in our prayers. Here's the first thing I want you to understand. God has deposited His power in us. Let me read you some scriptures before we get to Ephesians 3. Luke 24, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued or infused with power from on high. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Remember, this point is God has deposited His power in us. According to Romans 8, we have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living in us. And that power is the Holy Spirit. So we are infused, we are endued, we are clothed, would be the literal Greek word there from Luke 24, with power from on high. We have God's power in us. Now, before we read this verse in Ephesians 3:20, I want to ask you something about it. Now, don't look at your Bibles for a minute, okay? Don't look at your Bible. Don't look at your Bible. Don't look at your Bible. Are you familiar with this verse? Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Are you familiar with that verse? Okay? I asked three of our pastors this last week to finish that verse. Don't look at your Bible. To finish that verse for me. All three of them couldn't do it. They're on administrative leave. But anyway, no, I couldn't do it either, okay? So, now don't look at your Bible. Because we had some cheaters in the last service, by the way. What's the rest of the verse say? Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. All right, hold on. How many of you know what the rest of the verse says? Can I see your hand? Okay. How many of you don't know? Let me see your hand. Okay. That's most of us. And by the way, those of you that know, you can apply for a job as a pastor. We have some openings. The rest of the verse is the key. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Let's read it. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now remember what this point is. God has deposited His power in us. Here's what this says. According to the power that works in us. Okay, I have a question for you. If God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, here's the question. Well, then why doesn't He? Because it's according to the power that works in us. This is the key to understanding prayer. God is able. God has how much power? All power. God is able to do it all. Why doesn't He do it then? Because it's up to us. It's according. Now, let me tell you the Greek word for according here. This Greek word means to the measure of. It is the Greek word meta, which means measure. It's how you measure something out. It's measuring. Here's what it is. God's able to do everything to the measure that we release His power on this earth. Another definition of this Greek word denotes distribution. Distribution. All right, here's my point. How much power, how much of this exceedingly abundant power are you distributing to your family through your prayers? How much of God's exceedingly abundantly above all power are you measuring out through your prayers? This is what we have to understand. We are the ones God has decided to cooperate with us. Look at this verse. Jeremiah chapter 27 verse 5. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm. This is God talking. And watch this. I have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. In other words, whom it seemed proper to me to give it. Okay, well, who's God given the earth to? Us. Now, I understand God gave the deed. We talked about this to Adam, and Adam lost it. But Jesus got it back. And He got it back for us. So what happens on this earth is dependent upon our prayers and how much of the power that works in us. God has deposited the Holy Spirit. He's deposited Himself. He has deposited Himself in us. And it depends on how much of the Holy Spirit gets out is how much we let out. How much we measure out. Are y'all following me? Now here's a bold statement. God's unlimited power is limited on earth by our prayers. God's unlimited power is limited on this earth by our prayers. That's the first thing I want you to understand. God has deposited His power in us. We're talking about praying the prayer of power. Here's the second thing. We must release it through prayer. We release this power through prayer. Now, John chapter 7, we'll get to Revelation 5 in a minute. John 7 verse 37. On the last day, this is the eighth day of an 8-day feast. That great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way. Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now remember, we just read the verses where Jesus said, now you guys wait until you get the Holy Spirit, until you get power from on high. And you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We read that. Now he stands up and he's talking about the Holy Spirit who's going to come. And when he comes, out of you is going to flow rivers of living water. In other words, out of you is going to flow the rivers of God or the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you a little background on this. It's a feast that lasts 8 days. For 7 days, they prayed for living water from heaven. For 7 days, they would quote Zechariah 14:8, that out of Jerusalem would flow rivers of living water. They would quote that verse, and they would take some water and pour it out on a rock to symbolize the living water from God that came out of the rock when Moses spoke to it, and they would pray for living water. On the 8th day, they would pray for rain. 7 days they'd pray for living water. The 8th day they'd pray for rain. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with praying for rain, and thank God for the rain that we got, right? But keep praying, because we need more, and God's got more. But the point is not whether God will send it. The point is whether we'll release enough power to get it here. That's what I'm trying to tell you about prayer, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for rain, but there was something wrong with them praying for rain. You know why? Here's why. It was a religious tradition that they went through every year for those 7 days. They didn't really believe God was going to pour out living water. In essence, what they were doing on the eighth day was they were saying, well, since we can't get living water anymore, we'll just take regular water. It was a tremendous statement of unbelief among the Jewish people. And here's what Jesus did. After 7 days of praying for living water, on the eighth day, before they could pray for rain, Jesus stood up and said, I'm the living water. I'm the water. You remember the water that came out of the rock? I'm the rock. I'm the water. And if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me. And once you come to me, let me tell you what else is going to happen. I'll deposit that water that you're praying for. I'm going to deposit it in you. And you can release living water. You can release the power of God that I'm going to deposit in you. So, here's my question for you. How much of the living water of God are you releasing for your family? Is it a trickle? Or is it a river? Is it possible that prayer is not trying to get God to move as much as it is releasing enough power in the Spirit to get the job done? Do you understand that if you'll understand this, you'll quit getting mad at God? Well, I prayed and God didn't do it. How long did you pray? And hadn't God already done it? Listen to me carefully. Is Jesus ever going to die on a cross again? No. Why? Because it's done. It's complete. The work of salvation, as far as God's part is concerned, is done and complete. Would you agree with that? Well, how come everyone isn't saved? Because you have a part now. It's just like I said in the message back when we were talking about how God needs us. God decided to need us. It's the same thing I talked about. It's like chess. God has moved and rung the bell. It is your move now. If you're going to get saved, it's going to be up to you. You're going to have to accept what Jesus did on the cross. All right, let me ask you another question. Is Jesus ever going to be scourged for our healing again? No, it's already been done. So our healing and salvation is in heaven. And here's how Jesus told the disciples to pray. You need to get heaven on earth. Hey, let me give you another verse. Ephesians 1 says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. All right, let me ask you two questions. How many spiritual blessings have we already been blessed with? Every one of them. And where are they, though? They're in heaven. So how do we need to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can answer. Heaven. Heaven. We are trying to get heaven on earth. It's not up to God to move. It's up to us to pray. It is up to us to release the power of God that's in us. And when you pray, you are releasing. Listen, this has changed my prayer life. I'm a bottom line person. I try to get to the bottom line, and since you attend this church and I'm a preacher, you ought to thank God I'm a bottom line person. Because I try to get to the bottom line in my messages, and I try to get to the point and get off of it. Don't I? You better say yes. I try to get to the bottom line. It's very, very difficult for me to carry on a conversation with a person who is not a bottom line person. I am praying during that conversation, believe me. Dear God, if there's a point, help her to get to it. So I try to get to the point. Here's the problem, though. I've done that in my prayers, too. I just try to get to the point. And what I've realized is that it's my prayers that's releasing the power of God for that situation. And I'm learning to pray longer. Do you know what the fastest animal on earth is? It's a cheetah. How fast can a cheetah run? 70 miles an hour. That's how fast you drive. Most of you drive, so that's fast. 70 miles an hour. I want you to think about that. An animal can run 70 miles an hour. Do you know why, though, the cheetah is not just fat as he can be? Because he can't run very long. He has a disproportionate size heart. He can run fast, but he can't run far. Think about why I'm telling you this. He runs hard and fast, but he doesn't run far. That's the way most Christians pray. And when we don't get an answer, we resolve next time we're going to pray harder and faster. No. How about if we pray longer? How about if we really give it to God? Why did Elijah have to pray seven times for rain when God said he was going to send rain? All right, here's the question. I know I've talked about Elijah through this whole prayer series, but here's the question I want to ask you, and I think it's going to dawn on you. Was Elijah trying to talk God into doing something that God already said he was going to do? No. What was Elijah doing? Releasing enough power on earth to agree with heaven to get heaven on earth. Why did Daniel have to pray 21 days? Let me just read that to you. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. You know why he was mourning? Because he was on a fast. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till three whole weeks were fulfilled. The people around him were mourning too, obviously, because he wasn't anointing himself. And this is what we call a Daniel fast. No meats and no sweets, okay? And if you do a Daniel fast, that's great, but please take a bath during those 3 weeks, all right? Verse 12, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. 21 days. Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I'd been left alone with the kings of Persia. All right, here's what the angel said. The first day you prayed, I left heaven with your answer. We know that he left heaven the first day because he'd been praying 21 days and he was withstood 21 days. He didn't say 18 days. He didn't wait 3 days to leave heaven. When he prayed, he left heaven with his answer. But do you remember there's a battle going on in heavenly places? Spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers. I'm telling you, the first time you pray, your answer leaves heaven. But there's a war going on. And what I'm asking you is, are you only going to pray 20 days when you should pray 21? What if Daniel had stopped praying? See, Daniel was releasing on earth the power to get the answer through. Are you releasing on earth the power? And by the way, we're talking about fasting. I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you to call the church to a 40-day time of prayer and fasting. And everyone that I know of is doing some sort of prayer and fasting. And I just want to encourage you tremendously. And by the way, if you are fasting some types of food, the great thing is not how much weight you've lost. 24 pounds. It's not. That's not the great thing. It's not how much less you're eating. It's how much more you're praying. Let me remind you, because we got 2 weeks left. Pray. Spend time in prayer. Draw close to God. Have you noticed how much our worship, how much better our worship is in this time? Have you noticed that? How we're doing? Okay, the worship team hadn't gotten any better. It's not them. It's that we're entering in more. We're seeking God. I was talking to James and Betty Robinson, who were here the first service, talking to him after service, and I said to him, our people are hungry for God. He said, man, we're just hungry. I mean, you call us to a fast, we're just hungry. That's what we are. Here's the third thing. God adds His fire to our prayers. Boy, if you'll catch this truth, it'll change your life. God adds His fire to our prayers. Now, Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, do you see the prayers of the saints? You see that? Okay, where are our prayers stored according to this verse? In what? Bowls. You see that? That's very, very important. Now, flip over a page or two to Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That's why many theologians believe there'll be no women in heaven. I'm sorry. Let me say it again. I'm sorry. Let me tell you the only reason I shared that, because I said that one time from the pulpit, and a little old lady came up after the service and tugged on my sleeve and said, there won't be any preachers there either. And so I think that's better than what I said, personally. All right, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. How many of the saints? Are you a saint? Okay, your prayers get included on this. Upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. All those are symbols of God's power on earth, or God moving on the earth, God doing something miraculous. Now, do you get what happens here? When we pray, our prayers go into bowls in heaven. Those bowls, at some time, the fire of God is added to those bowls, and those bowls, our prayers, are thrown back to the earth with God's fire added to it. This is the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel when Elijah prayed. It's the same fire that stood between the children of Israel and their enemies and protected them. It's the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. It's the same fire that Moses talked to in the burning bush. It's the fire of God. This is the fire of God. Now, what do you think would happen if your prayers, if God adds His fire to your prayers and it comes back to earth? That's when the miracle comes, right? Okay, so how do we get that to happen? Here's my personal opinion. It's when the bowls are full enough. It's when the bowl. I think the bowls are on a fulcrum. I think when they get full, they tip. You ever seen a waterfall like that? It's poured water in it, and then when it gets full, it tips over? That's exactly what I think it is. And here's what I think. I think that angel is standing there right by the altar with the fire ready to put it, and he's thinking, dear God, please, 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 let her pray some more. She's praying for her daughter, but she prays 5 minutes a day on her way to Starbucks. And she thinks that's enough. Don't you ever think that casual or sporadic praying is enough to receive a miracle from God? I want to tell you again, the problem's not on God's part. We're not filling the bowls. And when that bowl gets full, I think that angel thinks, thank you, Lord. He puts the fire of God in with our prayers and throws it to the earth. How full are your bowls? I'll tell you about a man that maybe you've never heard of. His name was George Mueller. He lived in the 1800s. He had a very, very wild life. Wild life. Very immoral. Drinking. All sorts of horrible things that he did until he was 30 years old. When he was 30 years old, guess what? He got invited to a life group. They didn't call it a life group, but it was about 7 or 8 people that met in a home and studied the Bible. He'd never seen that in his life. He went and came to know the Lord, even though he had grown up going to church and was training to be a minister. But he was still wild as he could be. And the only reason he was training to be a minister was because ministers were supported by the state at that time in the country where he was, and his father wanted him to have a steady job. It's the only reason. Wild as he could be. Came to know the Lord, got saved, got radically saved. Then he decided he wanted to go to missionary school. His father wouldn't send him to missionary school. And his father was very wealthy. So here's what he did. He prayed until he felt like his bowl was full enough for God to provide. He prayed for 2 months. At the end of that 2 months, he felt like God said, now you can go. He goes to missionary school. He is standing in line to pay his tuition. A man walks up he's never seen, puts money in his pocket, never says a word, turns around, walks away. He got up to the window, pulled the money out, put it on the counter. It was the exact amount of his tuition. All he did was pray. He goes to missionary school. He gets out of missionary school. He graduates from missionary school, and he's turned down by the missionary board because of his past, because he was too wild. They didn't think he was serious. So he wasn't going to have any support. So you know what he did? Prayed. He prayed this time for 1 year. until God told him, now you can go. Your bowl's full. He went over. God led him to a little town. He went into the little town. He went to the church to talk to whoever the pastor was. And he was told, the pastor just left last week. He said, I just graduated from missionary school. They said, you're hired. He had his paycheck. He became the pastor of the church. After a few months, though, he found out the way they were paying him was they were renting pews to the wealthy members of the church. So he got up and preached a message and said, we're not going to show partiality anymore. You're not going to be able to rent pews. Any person can get a seat. And furthermore, we're not going to pass the plate. We're going to put offering boxes by the doors. I thought I invented that. And you give as God leads, because God loves cheerful givers, not renters. That's what he told them. You know, God always provided for him. Then God spoke to him to begin orphanages. He had 50 cents. So what do you think he did? It's all he did. It's all he ever did was he prayed. And over the next 60 years, this is in the 1800s, God brought into their missions account of this little church $7.5 million. And he had more orphanages than any missionary that's ever lived. Ministered to thousands of kids. When he got saved, his best friend rejected Christ. When he got saved at 30 years old. When he was 93 years old, 93 years and 8 months old, he was about to pass away. And he was praying, and one of his friends heard him pray for this friend that didn't get saved when he was 30. And the guy said to him, are you still praying for him? He said, I have prayed for him every day for 63 years and 8 months since I got saved. He passed away a few days later. The friend that he told this to was at the funeral, and to his surprise, the friend that George Mueller had been praying for came to the funeral. At the end of the service, he walked to the edge of the grave, got on his knees, and accepted Christ. Because George Mueller prayed for him for 63 years and 8 months. Prayer is not trying to get God to move. Prayer is releasing the power that's within you so God can move. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What do you need to pray about today? What situation in your life do you need to fill that bowl up? Think about it. If you have a daughter that's away from the Lord, or a son that's going through a difficult time, or your marriage is not where it ought to be, or your job situation, or your career, or your finances, is there something with your health or someone in your family's health? Here's the question. How full is that bowl? Are you praying hard and fast but not long? We got to fill the bowls up. So God adds His fire to our prayers and throws our prayers with His fire back to the earth. Maybe you're like that friend of George Mueller that someone's been praying for you for all these years, and you need to give your life to Christ today. We're going to give you a chance to do that. In every service so far, we've had people give their lives to Christ. You need to give your life to Christ. Maybe you need to come back to God. Maybe you don't just need to come to God, but maybe you need to come back to God. Here's your opportunity. Let me tell you how we're going to do it. I'm going to pray. After I pray, we're going to stand, and Carrie's going to sing. And at that time, if you're an altar, if you're on our altar ministry team, you come as soon as you can so you'll be ready to pray. But there will be leaders here at the church, at the front of the church, that want to pray with you. And here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to sing. I just want Carrie to sing. If you don't need to come to the altar, I want you to pray. There's enough of us in this building today to release the power of God so people could be saved today. So if you're here today, we're going to pray for you. If you're here and you're away from God, or you don't know if you died, you'd go to heaven. I want you to make up your mind. Make up your mind right now. You're not going to walk the fence anymore. As soon as we stand, you're just going to stand up and step out and come all in one motion. There'll be other people coming, but you ought to decide, if I'm the only one, I'm coming. And also, if you're here and you're a believer, but you have a situation like I spoke of, a son or a daughter that you're praying for, your marriage, a health situation, I'd like for you to come also and let us pray with you and let us agree with you. So if you need prayer or ministry of any kind, as soon as we stand, you just stand up and step out and come. If you don't need to come for some sort of prayer, I want you to pray. And let's allow God to move. Let's release the power of God today to move in our midst. I'm going to pray. After I pray, we'll stand. Carrie will sing. I want you to just step out and come as soon as you stand. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll give courage to every person that needs to come. In Jesus' name, amen.